Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. My conversation in Reno, Nevada. It's really amazing people, great patriots, amazing spirit. It gives me hope. No advertisers in this episode. It is our way of saying thank you for those of you that listen. Happy Sunday. Happy Lord's Day. Become a member if you can, charliekirk.com, to listen to all of our episodes advertiser free. There are more things that we're going to be rolling out. charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
We are glad to have you here, and we're going to make some woke people mad tonight, probably. I just want to let you know. But that's just because we're awake and alive, right? So would you guys give a warm welcome to Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, and my hero.
Wow, great group. Hello, everybody. Great to be here.
Charlie, we're so glad to have you here tonight. Thank you for taking the time and putting us on your schedule. And we're just going to spend some time doing some questions and answers with Charlie at this point. And so I'll open it up with this one, Charlie. I think we would like to just hear a little bit about your background, how you came to know the Lord, and a little bit about how you founded Turning Point USA, if you don't mind sharing.
Well, first of all, this is a great church, I have to tell you. Not everyone will host us, and you're doing a great job. And so if this is not your home church, you guys should consider it.
I'll pay you later for that one.
No, we didn't even coordinate that, I got to tell you. And then, by the way, we're going to be doing question and answer later, so I know a lot of you probably have questions, a lot of things to on your mind. We'd love to dialogue with you. Honored to be here. Short story kind of about that. I gave my life to the Lord when I was in fifth grade, grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. Any refugees from Chicago? Yeah? There's more and more of us every single day. What a tragedy of what they've done to that city, by the way, right? It used to be one of America's greatest cities. I got to tell you, Chicago and San Francisco, they're really competing for, you know, what used to be great. Anyway, I gave my life to the Lord in suburbs of Chicago in fifth grade. Most important decision I ever made. And if Jesus is not the savior of your life, you need to fix that. And we're gonna talk about that throughout the evening. It's the most important decision you can make, and it changes your life. And most importantly, it's an eternal decision, and it transforms you from within. Anyway, so I made that decision and kind of grew in the faith. Always loved the country. I'm a proud American patriot, but I grew up being told. And by the way, you as a Christian should applaud that. It is biblical to love your country. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's biblical to love your country.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:7, seek the welfare of the nation that you are in, because your welfare is tied to your nation's welfare. Esther cared about her nation. Mordecai cared about his nation. Daniel, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Joseph. It is biblical to care about your country, everybody. So Amen. It is okay to applaud for America, especially a country like America. In fact, there is there's a movement afoot in some pastors that say you shouldn't love your country. You shouldn't care about the welfare of your nation. That is not found anywhere in the scriptures, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But I was raised to not commingle politics and the church, and that was a mistake. I was always raised to believe that. Started Turning Point USA when I was 18 years old, which is now the largest organization in the country reaching out to young people for conservative values.
Wow.
And I know many of you give $5, $10, give what you can to Turning Point USA. Thank you for backing us. We are making a sizable and measurable impact every single day on campuses across the country. Just last week, we went to UCLA. We couldn't find a room big enough to fit all the students at UCLA that wanted to come hear our message. Absolutely. It was really amazing. So anyway, I decided to take a gap year before going to college. It's been 11 gap years. We'll see if I go back to college. And super blessed. I fight for the country every single day. I say things that drive certain people nuts. And I tell the truth, and I'm not afraid of it. We have all the right enemies. And honestly, I'm the most blessed person, I believe, on the planet. I have a great wife, amazing daughter. And I feel that every single day I get to contribute to trying to save the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world, trying to bring people to ultimate truth. And we do it in a variety of different ways. We've launched TP USA Faith a couple years ago. Our project is really simple. It is to kick wokeism out of the American church as quickly as possible. Amen. But Jesus is the center of everything that I do. Jesus says in John 10:10, it's one of my favorite verses. It's one of my life verses because it really kind of shows what we're living through right now. The enemy has come to lie, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Amen. So you look at that's a great divide, isn't it? Are you on the side of lie, stealing, destroying, and death, or on the side of life and life more abundantly? And Christ is about liberty. The story of the scriptures is about liberty. The story of Exodus is about liberty from tyranny. Liberty is God's idea, not man's idea. This nation was founded on that biblical idea, and I'm afraid we're losing it. And we're here tonight to try to get it back with marching orders and a little bit of encouragement of how we're going to win. So honored to be here, and that's a little bit about my faith.
Amen, amen. Thank you. So, yeah, amen. Hey, if we're going to clap, let's clap, guys. No golf claps tonight. So you're talking about the American church and kicking wokeism out of it. What would you say is a call to action for the church in America today? How would you call us into action as churches that want to see that happen?
Yeah, it's not overly complicated. Let's go back to the amazing pastors that founded this country. George Whitefield, Jonathan Mayhew, the Black Robe Regiment, Jonathan Edwards. Preach the Bible. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That includes the scary Old Testament. Do you know that Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, which I love the book of Deuteronomy. I've spent a lot of time studying it. By no means an expert, but it is an amazing book. It's Moses' farewell address to the nation of Israel before they enter Canaan. It's the last things he says to them. It was quoted in the founding documents more than any other book, secular or religious. Anyway, they put Leviticus 25:19, proclaim liberty in the land of which you are in. They put that right on the liberty bell, right? So these are serious. And just so we're clear, and I didn't come here tonight to make you all fall asleep. Could you, it really is amazing. I'm going to take a picture of this and tweet it out. 1,200 people in Reno that want to learn about Leviticus on a weeknight. I got to tell you, that is really amazing. That is really Jesus is coming soon, I got to tell you.
That's right. I want to see all of you at church next Wednesday night, too.
Okay? I got to tell you. No, anyway, but Jesus said, for all the laws of the prophets hang upon these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your soul strength, heart, soul, strength, and mind, which is Deuteronomy 6:5, and then love your neighbor as yourself, which is Leviticus 19. And so Leviticus gets a bad rap. We could talk more about that later. But the whole book of Leviticus is about Jesus. It's about holiness. And when you read it from a New Testament Christian point of view, it just pops in vivid color. What were we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about your call to action.
Yeah, got it.
Church.
Okay, sorry. Preach the Bible is what I was saying, okay?
Amen.
And by the way, honestly, we have some amazing pastors here, by the way, we were just meeting with. I want to shout them out. There are other great pastors here in the Valley. Thank you, guys.
If you're a pastor, stand up real quickly. If you're a senior pastor here tonight, stand up. We want to
encourage you. It's great.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. We need more of you guys, and we have your back. It is not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy. But it is to have courage, as it says in Joshua 1:9, to be strong and courageous. I'm afraid that most American churches are not strong and courageous right now. They're vanilla. They're tepid. They're in the middle. They're moderate. Now is the time to be bold and to proclaim the truth. Amen. not to hide and retreat and hope it gets better. And so that's really one of the reasons I got into the church fight, if you will, you know, with a heavy political tilt, obviously, as a Christian on the campus space. During COVID, when I saw the capitulation of most churches, not all, there's plenty of churches that did the right thing, but that did vaccine mandates and mask mandates and locked down, I was horrified at how this beacon of liberty, this beacon of light, was no different than a secular institution. When the government, and by the way, Governor, I believe it was Sisolak, right, at the time?
Yes.
Yeah? He
yes.
was, and by the way, so thank you guys for kicking that guy out. He is just the worst. What a bad dude. Calling the church non-essential. And I don't know if it was the case in this state, but other states, liquor stores and marijuana stores and strip clubs were deemed essential, but the church is not. And the church just took it. The church just said, oh, you know, we'll just do the live stream. That really disappointed me. So what is the call to action? Well, it's kick wokeism out by preaching the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Every sentence, every syllable of the Word of God has something to say to us.
Amen.
Every sentence of the Word of God has something to say to us. And secondly is, let's act with the courage that we portray to our congregation. If we're actually Christians, and I know that might sound like a heavy thing, then you should never bow a knee to tyrannical government. You should only fear God, not man.
Amen. Amen.
So, and then finally, I'm a big believer in what is your worldview. So some of you tonight might not be Christians, and I'm so glad you're here. I mean that non-sarcastically, honestly. Praise God that you're here. Maybe we'll say something that will move you towards giving your life to the Lord or reconsidering what we're saying. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. I believe in a biblical worldview. Our founders had a biblical worldview. The freest societies have biblical worldviews. And so there's something, a book, a song, a celebrity, that is your instruction manual. Most people don't even think deeply about what is your instruction manual for life. They say, oh, I am my own instruction manual. Yeah, that ends poorly. Or it's the values that my parents gave me. At some point, there's something that is influencing you. Unfortunately, we've sent our kids to these university campuses, and they're influenced by complete poison. If we as the church are not doing a good job of training and educating a foundation of our flock to have a biblical worldview, then we're not doing our job. So you kick wokeism out when your congregation uses the Bible, the Word of God, to analyze all the news events. What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about life? What does the Bible say about immigration? What does the Bible say about everything? And then it doesn't become a question, because the Bible then becomes the lens of which all your other decisions are made. And so one of the ways that we kick wokeism out is that we reinstill that biblical worldview. And I've found far too often that churches are now embracing secular moral relativism, where some churches, not all, they have the gay pride flag outside. Some churches, not all, are marching in BLM parades. In fact, some of the most popular pastors in America, one being Andy Stanley, who is somebody from Georgia, very popular, buys a lot of time on Christian broadcasting. He had two homosexuals come up to his church and present and have a pro-transgender type thing, saying that we must affirm trans kids' delusion. I'm sorry. That is the least loving thing you could do to a child.
Amen.
To
yeah.
affirm their delusion. And so I could give an extended answer at that, but it is going back to the type of church that founded this country. Biblical, strong, outspoken, truthful, loving, and Christ-centered.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, he's describing an Acts 2:42 church, isn't he, guys? Just to get back to the early New Testament church. Charlie, you mentioned college campuses there. What are the challenges and the issues and the concerns that you're running into frequently as you are with those student bodies there?
Oh, boy, where to start? You know, I joke around. We were just having an amazing pastor's roundtable. I said, guys, I'd love to work myself into retirement and the church thing. I'd love to wake up the American church, kick wokeism out. I have no ambitions to build a Christian empire or whatever people call it. I got plenty of work to do on the college campuses, guys, right? But if we're looking at this just from a triage, we'll lose the whole civilization if the church doesn't wake up. we will lose the country tomorrow if we don't fix what's happening on campuses. So I'm trying to do both, if that makes sense. The college campuses institutionally are one of the great threats to American freedom and liberty. And there are very few exceptions. You have a awful, awful school here. UNR is one of the most radical schools, honestly, on the American West Coast. I spoke there 4 years ago. They're incredibly radical. Look, they are factories of anti-Americanism, anti-Western values. If you send your kid to a college campus, you're playing Russian roulette with their values. And I want to be very clear. The students there should be our focus. The institutions cannot be saved. There is no reforming Harvard. There is no reforming Yale. There's only honestly burning it to the ground, which is the best thing that could happen to Harvard at this point. Now, that might sound radical, but when 31 student organizations at Harvard University, the day after the most deadly attack on Jews since the Holocaust, 31 student organizations come out with sympathy for Hamas, I say you are no morally better than Nazi Germany, and that institution should cease to exist. Wow. I will not put up with that in this country, period. I find that morally repugnant. And it's not just Harvard. You have a professor at Columbia University who came out and said it was a beautiful day that Hamas came and killed those babies. And you might have different views on the Israel. This is moral toxins. And it's Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, Dartmouth. It's across the board. And so I go there on a rescue mission. My job at Turning Point USA is a nonstop 24/7, 365 rescue mission to save your kids from ideas that will destroy the country and destroy themselves. I'm trying to rescue as many kids as possible. And we are having success. And we can't rescue them all, right? But praise God, as I mentioned, when we go there, we are packing out auditoriums. And we're packing them out on things that might be deemed controversial. But they are starving for truth. Some good news. Gen Z men are the most conservative they have been in last 50 years. 18-year-old men. Young ladies are a different question. We can get into that. That's a challenge.
Come on, ladies.
Yeah, that's a challenge. But the men are very promising. But I could go on at length. But this will sound controversial. But I will be proven right, and I don't say that in any sort of cocky way. You should be very careful sending your grandkids or kids to college. I know that might sound radical. I know that might sound, you know, a little hyperbolic. I don't make any money off of this book. Turning Point gets all the proceeds. Read my book, The College Scam. I detail it in great detail. 10-count indictment against the college industry. There is very little redemption or redeemable value when you send your kid to a college that isn't Hillsdale College. And you might say, but they need a college to get a job. That might be true. It's not as true as you might think, though, just so you understand the numbers. So I want you to challenge your own assumption. Only 62% of kids that enter college will graduate. So not as many as you think graduate. 40% of kids that graduate will end up getting a job that does not require a college degree. Okay? So they'll end up getting a job that did not require them to go in the first place. And 55% will end up getting a job in a different field than what they studied. So just know the numbers going in and understand that you might send your daughter to Stanford and she'll come back your son.
That's good advice, sound advice. What advice would you have, Charlie, for Christian employees who are working in a job where their employers have bought into the diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda? I get asked that a lot from people in our congregation that are going, Pastor, what should I do? What can I do?
What a great question. So I'll answer it of what I would do, but this is not necessarily, you know, prescriptive to you, because you have to provide for your family. You have to pay bills. And so that is incredibly important. So please take what I'm saying and apply it to your own life. I personally would not be able to work for a company that was so at odds with my values. I would quit and I would find a different job. Now, I'm not saying you should do that, because you have obligations, you have a mortgage, you have to provide for your family. But I would not torment myself. I would not put myself through a modern day Maoist struggle session to have to hear that I'm a bad person because I'm white every single day. Just so we're clear, if you are not happy at work, you will die earlier. The numbers show that. Just so you, if you are going to a job that you, this is not even, this is just the data. You will die 15 years earlier. Just so we're clear, the data is so clear on this. Those people that find joy and happiness and depth at their work live longer lives because they don't dread going. It's so obvious, right? They're less likely to develop stress-induced cancers or other sort of ailments that might come alongside of it. And just in general, they live a happier and better life. So what to do? Sometimes you have to act out in faith. You have to see if God has a plan in store. There is, just to consider, an amazing Patriot economy that is growing. Public Square is listing a lot of these companies. I think you would be surprised at how many employers are out there that are trying to find Christian patriots to come work for them that don't believe in the DEI, CRT, Amen. Trans stuff.
Amen.
So look, your number one obligation is to provide for your kids and your family. That is number one. If you feel as if you can do that while also taking a leap of faith, you'll live longer. And by the way, less divorces happen if you're happy at work. That's another stat. There's an incredible amount of literature on happiness at work. I happen to stumble into it in one of the books I'm reading called Happiness Advantage. It's amazing. It's like 10 pages. He says, if you're happy at work, here's the stats. If you're not happy at work, here's the stats. Less likely to be divorced, less likely alcoholism, less likely to get into drug abuse. Obviously, it's not a guaranteed thing, but it's rational, right? If you're excited and happy and purpose-filled at work, obviously the rest of your life will probably be better, less likely to get in fights at home, less all that sort of stuff. So I would urge you to prayerfully consider if God has a plan for you to go find a different job or a different career that could share your values. One of the greatest, most torturous forms of tyranny in modern America is when someone has to leave their home and pretend to be something they aren't.
That's good. That's really good. We've been talking to, you talked to a little bit about the students on the college campuses that came out in support of Hamas right after October 7 attacks. Can you speak to us a little bit about the situation in Israel and what can we in America and also the churches, what can we learn from what happened there in Israel?
Yeah, I mean, just the brewing Jew hatred in this country is really bothering me. And by the way, I'm no apologist for the Israeli government. When, you know, they bombed a church, I tweeted about it and the IDF responded and we had a good dialogue and I thought that was just fine. But the moral issue that I have with this is some people in the left-wing media are coming out as if that, you know, Hamas is somehow the victim here. And I just, and I, again, I'm an America first guy. I love Israel I actually really have a soft spot for Israel. Let me be perfectly honest. Everyone knows that. I had an amazing time with my wife there. I saw where Jesus walked on water, where Jesus rose from the dead. I have a soft spot for Israel, all cards being out there. At the same time, you know, my obligation is to America first. But there is no moral equivalent when you have people come in and target civilian corridors on the holiest Jewish day, and then they get to cry victim. They want a ceasefire? They had a ceasefire on October 6th, the day before they did that. You guys decided to no longer have a ceasefire.
Right.
And the militancy, so there's so many different takeaways with this. I hope Israel wins. I hope Israel liberates the people of Gaza and destroys Hamas. War is awful. War is ugly. The IDF is trying to get as many civilians out of the way, and God bless them for that. The Hamas targeted as many civilians as possible on October 7th, okay? Bad things happen in war. They use hospitals to launch rockets. They put their headquarters underneath hospitals. All that stuff is legitimate and true. But this is where you can really kind of cross up a Hamas supporter, which drives them nuts, is they say, well, the people of Gaza don't support Hamas. Okay, then shouldn't you support getting rid of Hamas? No. Because Hamas is not a terror organization. I think you just said they don't support the people. So either Israel's trying to liberate the people of Gaza, or you support God. They can't have it both ways. So immediately they kind of combust. And there's no easy issue. There's no easy solution. But let me kind of editorialize a little bit. And I did a whole show on this yesterday. I find it to be deeply insulting, and I say this as someone who has a soft spot and a heart for Israel, when two members of the Israeli government wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal saying that is a moral imperative for we as Americans to take the people of Gaza. I find that to be insulting, to be perfectly honest with you. Okay? Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. How about Saudi Arabia takes, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand of your fellow Muslim brethren? So Israel, let me just get this straight. The Israeli government, who I'm cheering for the record, doesn't want these people in their country. And they shouldn't want them. But you as Americans, they wrote in the Wall Street Journal, we have a moral imperative. I'm sorry that you're making a mistake, Danny Dinan, to publish that in the Wall Street Journal. Okay? We are not going to take the people of Gaza into this country. It's just not going to happen. And so that's number one. Number two, I think this has opened a lot of people's eyes to who we've been letting into our country the last decade. And I'm an immigration hawk, and I'm proud of it. And there's an amazing verse in Deuteronomy that is so powerful. In fact, I want to read it. It's so powerful. I don't think we talk about this enough. Because if you hear immigration spoke about in a church, there are many verses that says, love the stranger, love the foreigner. And we should love all people. But very rarely in church do you hear this verse. Deuteronomy 28:43, one of the last things that Moses ever said. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours. They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them. In the end, the foreigners will become your rulers. How often do you hear that said in a church? Very rarely. I'll be very honest. The Muslim Brotherhood is on pace to become our rulers in this country. Turns out Moses was right in Deuteronomy. So I just want to say there's a biblical basis for being skeptical of letting people into your country. Because some woke Christians will only use the verses that say love the foreigner, love the refugee. By the way, the refugee status is overused, just so we're clear, okay? So I think it is suicidal as a country to let in hundreds of thousands of people like Ilhan Omar who have bitter contempt for America under the guise of tolerance. No more. We should revoke the student visas of the people on these campuses that are saying, kill the Jews. We should kick them out of the country and say, you are not welcome here anymore. Unacceptable. And we need to seriously rethink the way that we do immigration broadly in this country, period. In London, they're having hundreds of thousands of people take to the streets. Not just London. You guys see it in D.C. You see it in New York. You say, how has this happened? We let this happen because they took advantage of our benevolency. And I'm going to say something radical, but it's every Christian needs to know this. Islam is a political ideology masquerading as a religion. I don't think we as Christians are educated enough on Islam. We used to be. Back in after 9/11, there was a lot of, like, I think a heightening of education. We've kind of, you guys need to go really learn. I'm not saying you don't, but I think we broadly have to really re-educate ourselves, myself included. Get this, leftism is a religion masquerading as a political ideology.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
So that's why they work in tandem. Final point that I think on the Israel thing. A lot of Jewish donors are having regret, and God bless them for the regret they're having. I received a lot of backlash in the media when I said this because they said it was anti-Semitic, which it isn't anti-Semitic. It's so shallow and stupid when they use these sort of accusations. When I said that Jewish donors have been the biggest funders of these universities over the last couple of decades that have been fomenting anti-white, anti-Jew, and anti-Western values. And I said it's promising to see Jewish donors finally pull their money from these universities and anti-American educational institutions. So I think that's a big takeaway. We see that with Bill Ackman. We see that with Copperman. We see that with Mark Rowan. We see that with some major Jewish donors that are pulling hundreds of millions of dollars in these universities. So look, there's a lot of different takeaways. To summarize that all together, I'm cheering for Israel. I hope that they continue to fight in the most humane way possible, which it looks like they are, to try to save as many civilians as possible, to get this over with. But they need to kill as many Hamas terrorists as possible. That is the modern day moral equivalent of Nazism. And so that's my takeaway.
And that kind of brings us naturally to talk about our own border situation here in America. How How does the current administration's posture towards immigration, how is that hurting us? And what do you think a healthy solution for that would be? I heard that.
Look,
build a wall.
I want to make sure. I don't want to spend too much time on this, I'll be honest, because I'm just going to, you guys are going to get so sad. What is the new Speaker of the House doing, honestly? I mean, I don't mean to pick on him. Nice guy, Christian. And I said this publicly. Honestly, if you're not cut out for the fight, go back and be a pastor or go run a Bible study, man. I mean that. Because what you just did, we have millions of people walking into our country. And he has this amazing opportunity before Thanksgiving and Christmas to use leverage to get something to secure our southern border. And he just passed a bill that Chuck Schumer said was excellent and Joe Biden's going to sign that punts this all the way into January. Look, we are being invaded. It is an act of treason against the country facilitated by Mayorkas and Joe Biden. 8 Republicans voted against the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. It's unbelievably disappointing. All we are asking for, and I believe I speak for you when I say this, is an opposition party against the consensus of Washington, D.C. We want a party to go there and to say no. That we've had enough agreement. They want to keep the borders open. They want to keep spending money we don't have. We send you there to say something differently. To stop the nonsense. And so, look, the border is an act of treason. Joe Biden should be impeached and treated as a traitor to the United States for what he has done on the southern border. And let's just say that, you know, you're someone in the audience and you're not convinced and you say, but, you know, Charlie, we should love the foreigner. Okay, you want to love the foreigner? Close the border because young girls are getting raped every single day by the cartels as they are getting sex trafficked. We have more slaves in North America than ever before as we have a southern, porous southern border. How about the flow of fentanyl into our communities, the flow of illegal guns? This is a human rights catastrophe. It is a sovereignty catastrophe. And, I mean, we're on pace. By the time Joe Biden is done, and this really goes to show one of the reasons why we need to keep fighting and not give up. Somebody asked me, they said, Charlie, why are we so divided? I said, I'll tell you why we're divided. We look at 10 million illegals that come into the country and we say, what an unspeakable tragedy, an unacceptable thing that has happened. Biden looks and he says, I'm so proud. That's why we're divided. You have one side that looks at one of the greatest tragedies in American history as a success. There is no remedying that. There is no common ground. There's only winning. Them losing and us winning. That is an act of treason, everybody. When he has said that there's no crisis, it's perfectly fine. So I don't want to depress you, but I mean, they are destroying the country via the southern border every single day. And our Republican Party has done nothing to fix it.
Right, we got to change that. We have a large Hispanic population here in Washoe County. In fact, on staff here at this church, we have 4 Hispanic pastors and only 2 of us white guys. I don't know what's going on there, but they work me over at work sometimes. I don't know, but no, I'm kidding. But what steps is 2PUSA taking to help them trust in conservative leaders who want to control immigration to the United States?
Yeah, honestly, I have such a heart for the Hispanic community. They are becoming quickly one of the most conservative communities. They're not there yet, but in one election cycle, they might be a majority conservative community. I'm telling you, it is happening. Univision, have you seen this recent story? Univision has come out, and they said, we don't want to lose our audience, so we're tilting right. I mean, that goes to I'm telling you, by the way, the answer is, but Hispanics, they want a border. They don't want an open border. I had a young lady that came to my event at UCLA. It was one of the most unbelievable things. I'm not usually speechless, as you could probably tell. And I was like, I don't know how to respond to this. She says, yeah, I agree with everything you've said, Charlie. We need to deport people. We need to build a wall. And my parents came here illegally. And I was like, wait, I've never heard this one before. She said, you're totally right. She said, just because my parents broke the law doesn't mean what you're saying is wrong. It is a moral tragedy. I'm glad I'm here. If they can't stay, then so be it. But we need to build the wall. And I was like, we're unbelievable, like the honesty. And by the way, we should deport every single foreigner in the country. They broke the law. They're here. They shouldn't be here. Now, But you might not totally agree at that, but it's the way it should be. But what we can agree on, and what Hispanics are coming to our way in big numbers, they don't believe men can give birth. They don't believe in this trans nonsense. They don't believe that kids should have their parts chopped off at 12 years old. And the issue that I think really moves Hispanics, economy to a lot of small business owners, they work so hard, they see the inflation, they are sick of it, but also crime. Hispanics have come largely from countries that were destroyed because of unregulated crime. And they are so sick of this defund the police, of this lawlessness that is embraced by the radical left. And so, I mean, you see this. I would not be surprised if Donald Trump wins Hispanics in the state of Arizona. I would not be surprised if he does. I know that might sound crazy, but it's also, you think about it, they are traditional in their conservative views. They're pro-family, pro-hard work, you know, pro-small business, pro-law and order. And I think it's an amazing thing. And they also reject the core tenets of upper-middle-class white woke liberalism. They do not believe in the most wacky abstract ideas. They think it's insane to support Hamas, for example. They think it's insane when all of a sudden somebody comes out and they say it's just a clump of cells. It doesn't register into the shared cultural history of Hispanics. And so I think we should do more Hispanic outreach. We should be unafraid to speak. We don't have to agree on every single issue, but the big stuff, the core stuff, think about how much Hispanics disagree with the Democrats on. They don't agree on abortion. They don't agree on crime. They don't agree on the race stuff. They don't agree on any sort of the core pillar issues. And so I'm very hopeful that there is going to be a massive right-wing revolution in the Hispanic community that will totally change American politics. I'm very, very hopeful.
Amen. Yeah, I have to agree with you on your assessment there. My wife and I lived in Costa Rica for 9 years in a Latin American country, and they just tell it how it is. It's very refreshing down there, actually, to be there.
That's why they like Trump.
They and I think you're right on that. What would you say, shifting gears here a little bit, what would you say to the Christian who is here tonight struggling with their conscience about voting for a candidate who doesn't align 100% with their biblical values? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, wrestling? First of all, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're contemplating that. So, I mean, obviously, the only person they ever say that about is Trump, right? So they have no problem voting for other people with flaws. But for Trump, a lot of people say, I don't know about that guy. Okay, look, Trump has lived a very colorful life, no doubt. So let's talk about that. Number one, a vote is not an endorsement of every single thing a person has said or done. It's about what they do and the policies that you align with. But the question is there ever an example of somebody in the scriptures that is considered to be faithful or holy that had really interesting hair and lived a colorful life? So enter the story of Samson. Now you laugh, but wait till you hear this one. Samson had some pretty awesome hair. God came to him while he was in a prostitute's bed. Samson took the jaw of a donkey and killed thousands of Philistines. He was willing to listen to the call of God to go fight. And you might say, oh, Charlie, but what's the takeaway? Samson is listed in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews because he was faithful to God's calling and obedience. So now, if you want to take Samson out of the Bible, how about King Cyrus? King Cyrus, who was called a righteous man, who was a Persian king, who sent the Jews back to Israel after the destruction of the first temple. It's where you get Zerubbabel, the book of Nehemiah, and the reconstruction of the second temple. King Cyrus has a lot of similarities to Trump, someone that might not share every single view that we have, but will fight for righteousness and fight for goodness. And I will say, look, Trump is a very interesting person. I'll be very honest. I'm very biased. I know him well. I think he's awesome. I really do. I know that everyone has differences of opinion. You might say he's prideful and he's cocky and all. I think he's hilarious, but that's a separate issue. And I know I don't agree with him on everything. Okay, I think the vaccine thing was a mistake. It's okay. You got to be honest, right? I didn't like the COVID stuff. But do we spend enough time on his virtues? And I don't think we do. This is a guy, I want you guys to think seriously. If you were facing 700 years in federal prison and having every cent you've ever earned about to taken away from you but from some crook in New York, would you still be fighting? No, seriously, I wouldn't. I don't. I mean, I think of myself as someone that has stamina. That's a very special person to keep on fighting. Now, some of you might say, I still don't like him. I don't like him. He's a bully. He's a jerk. Honestly, I said this in my RNC speech, and I'll say this. If you were to hire a bodyguard, do you want someone that's polite or someone that can win? He is the bodyguard of Western civilization.
Amen.
Here's what you will get. And I don't want to make this all about Trump, but if you want to ask questions about it, it's fine. You did get the repeal of Roe versus Wade. You did get that. Period. You got an embassy moved to Jerusalem. You got no new wars. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is a guy that did more peace deals than anybody else. You got a great economy. You got raising wages for people of all different colors and backgrounds. So you had a lot of successes there across the board. So you vote for the values he's fighting for. I personally, I will say it, I'm biased, and I could tell you, having spent extensive private time with him, having traveled with him, I could tell you, despite all the media nonsense, he cares deeply about this country. And I cannot say that about most politicians I spend time with. He cares about this country.
Well, we're starting to wind it down here, and I want to throw this out there now so you can be thinking about it in advance. But just if any of you guys have a question tonight for Charlie, just be thinking of that, because in a second we're going to open it up here. But before we get to that, this is more of a personal question, Charlie. I wanted to ask you, how have you dealt with your own personal fear and anxiety? Because you are under a lot of attack and stress, and there's a lot of attention on you. So how do you find the courage and the inspiration each day to deal with that? What do you do?
Well, thank you for that question. Yeah, we are under attack. Turning Point USA is without a doubt the most attacked major organization in the country. Every single day there are people that are trying to shut us down, put us in prison, sue us, write negative articles about us. But honestly, with the glory be to God Almighty, we are stronger than ever. We have 300,000 donors now at Turning Point USA. We have millions of people that we are reaching. It really is amazing. And God has a hedge of protection around this organization and our effort. Look, I lean on the Word of God. I love the Word every single day. And there's a couple verses that, for me personally, and you ask, you know, fear and anxiety. I do fear a few things. I fear disobeying God. I legitimately fear that. I fear that I will not honor God in what I do. I fear not being the best husband or father I could be. I don't fear the left. I don't. And you should neither. These people are beatable. They are fragile. They are broken. They need Jesus, but you should not fear them. You should not fear these people. And I say this as someone who has fought them professionally for 11 years. I fought them on campuses. I fought them in the streets. I fought them in the courts. You should not be afraid of them, because we have truth on our side and they do not. So look, I mean, for me, some of my favorite verses that are very comforting, I mentioned John 10:10. I kind of go through this sequentially, but I know this sounds strange, but one of my favorite verses of the entire Bible is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That should be very comforting. That means that you being here is not a mistake, that there's intentionality to your existence, and everything around you has a harmony, a purpose, and a plan, and an endpoint. It's called Bereshit in the Hebrew. Genesis 1:1 debunks all of the postmodern nonsense. You can keep on reading, and you should, but that alone, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means God is our creator. That we did not create God. God created us. That's a big deal, everybody, okay?
Amen.
And Genesis 1:26, 1:27, that we're created in his image. That we are made in the image of the divine. John 1, which is the creation story said differently. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word became flesh to dwell among us. I could do a whole nerdy speech into what the Logos is, but that basically means that the divine harmony of the cosmos came down on a rescue mission, to use that term I used previously, to save us from our sinful nature. And I go throughout the scriptures, and it's very comforting to know that there is a God with a plan and a purpose for our life in the end, that Christ wins. And then every day, I don't think we as Christians emphasize enough personal development with Christ. I love Romans 12 too. I think that if that one verse was one that every Christian would focus on, we would have a much healthier body of Christ, which is, do not conform to the ways of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are called not to conform to the habits of, you know, debauchery, of drunkenness, of pornography consumption, right? We're called to be different. And by that, your mind will literally be transformed. And I know this sounds weird, but my mind has been transformed. Metamuphe is the word in Greek, where I don't fear the left. I don't fear what they do, because I've done the habits for so many years not to conform to their garbage, that I could tell your mind actually does transform. I know some of you might think what I'm saying is wacky. Some of you I could tell know exactly what I'm saying, is that Christ transforms you. And but it starts with not conforming to the ways of this world. And so, it is the most popular psalm for a reason. Psalm 23 is so unbelievably comforting, I have to say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is really incredible. And so look, it's not up for us to win the battle. The battle is already won. And we will talk about this in question and answer. But your action every single day needs to be out of obedience. I do what I do because I'm told to do it by God. And if there's any other, and even more so, I do what I do for the glory of God, out of worship for his greatness and his perfect love. If you're doing what you do for different reasons, for example, Charlie, I want Trump to win in 2024 because that means it'll be a better life for me. That's outcome-based. God handles the outcome. You handle the obedience. The prayer that I don't like, and I'm very careful to say this when I say I don't like prayers, but I cringe. God, save us from this. How about God use us as a vehicle to save us from this?
Amen. Amen.
I think we need to ask God to use us as his vessels, imperfect, broken vessels for such a time as this.
Amen. That's an awesome answer. Thank you so much. We're going to move into a time of question and answer now. So I'm going to have the guys come down, and they're going to be standing right here because we want to be able to get those who ask the questions on camera as well. And so if you've got a question for Charlie, go ahead and stand up and line up in this aisle right here. And don't be shy. And there's a microphone waiting for you right there. And as Charlie, I've heard him say many times, dissenters go to the front. So if you have a dissenting opinion and you want to share or you want to ask a question coming from the opposite viewpoint, please join in and ask that question. I just want to quickly remind you that we are taking questions, okay? We don't want to hear your life story, although we know it's amazing. And we know that God has done amazing things in your life. Please just give us your name and give us a question, if you don't mind. So let's go ahead and
Before we begin, really quick, I'm going to do this twice tonight. This is the first one. It's a totally shameless plug. Can we get that slide up, guys, please? So some of you listen to our show every day on Real America's Voice. It really means it really is great. Some of you might be unaware. Every single one of you, though, have a phone. I would ask you, while we're doing question and answer, if you take out your phone and follow the QR prompting and subscribe to our podcast. We do 3 podcasts a day. You might be saying, Charlie, how can I get the news? Every day we do 3 podcasts. I'm biased. I think you get some pretty awesome content there. Interviews, frontline commentary. When you get to the Apple podcast page, you press subscribe by hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. If you don't know what I'm saying, there is an 8-year-old nearby that can guide you through all of that. But seriously, if you don't know what we're talking about afterwards, you can go to the TPUSA Faith booth and just ask, how do I subscribe to that? But if you get what I'm saying, please just follow that QR code, it really blesses us. I know it sounds self-promotional. It is totally self-promotional, to be honest. But the reality, everybody, it helps us not get canceled by big tech. That's the big thing, okay? When you subscribe, it makes it harder for Facebook to cancel us. Okay? So thank you for doing that. Yes, ma'am, we'll get started.
Hi, my name is Renee, and my question is, there's a lot of confusion, I think, about voting in the presidential primary as opposed to the caucus. What is the best way to get Trump elected, and can we vote in both?
Okay. Is that right? In Nevada, if you vote in the primary, you can't vote in a general? Is that what you're saying? Okay, I have no idea.
Caucus so, as opposed to the presidential
I'm sorry, primary. I don't want to mislead you. So okay. Maybe somebody else can clarify up to the mic or ask you after. I'm sure we have love your enthusiasm for Trump. There's a woman in the back that would love to talk to you. I hesitate to even weigh in on it because I don't want to mislead you. So please vote for Trump.
Excuse me. My understanding is if we vote in the caucus, then we can get delegates.
Okay, I don't know. How about...
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's an important question that I don't want to mislead you. So once we get in, somebody in the line, I'm sure, could clarify that. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Brooke, and Turning Point USA has written a couple stories on me. I'm the mom here that filed the lawsuit on the transgender policy. I'm in the biggest battle of my life right now. The Supreme Court is saying that my ex-husband can vaccinate my children, and I'm fighting with everything I have. My question is... For you, I love everything that you guys do, and I need your guys' support. I'm a mom. It doesn't just affect me. This is bigger than me. Anybody that's in a 50-50 situation of custody with their children will be affected by this because it's now case law. My question, my call to action is, what would you say to the parents that are in a position like me, and I want to be on your talk show to be the voice because we're filing to go to SCOTUS?
Well, God bless you for your courage. And is that the Nevada Supreme Court that ruled on it? Is that correct? Yeah. And you should go to the Supreme Court. So the U.S. Supreme Court. And I just want to I did not plan here to make this a Trump commercial, but I do want to just make sure it's clear. The fact that the United States Supreme Court might even weigh in on it is thanks to Trump and the three Supreme Court justices he put. Okay. I just want to be I have to be honest about it. Okay. We have to be honest. You have to keep fighting and know that you have a community of people behind you. God is putting you through a season right now. It will get better. You hear me? It will get better. And you have to understand that we're praying for you. We're supporting you. I know that this church family, I don't know if this is your church home or not, would love to welcome you. And my piece of advice, number one, would love to have you on the show. Okay, happy to talk to you after. When you're going through these seasons, make sure you're prioritizing your spiritual disciplines. That might mean going to church, definitely reading the word, fasting and praying. The enemy would love to destabilize you when you're going through this sort of stuff, okay?
Can we pray for Brooke real
yes,
quick?
Yes, please.
Let's pray for Brooke, guys. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up our sister Brooke to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, sometimes when we get to the very end of ourselves, all we can do is look up, and that's what you're waiting for, Lord. I just pray for Brooke, Lord, that you would surround her, that you would strengthen her, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, that you would send the right people to come alongside of her. And I pray that you would just give her wisdom, Lord. And we pray over this case. We know it's a spiritual case. Lord, there are spiritual forces in dark places that are pulling strings. And we pray against them in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you would tear down strongholds that need to be torn down. And that, Lord, what needs to happen would happen in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would encourage Brooke to know that she's not alone, that there are many, Lord, that are praying for her and supporting her. And, Lord, we just pray for her case in Jesus' name right now. Amen. Amen.
If you'll email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, I do read all those emails. Email me tonight. We'll get you on the show. Okay? God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, I won't speak very loud. Most of you guys heard me yelling outside. I'm one of the four Latinos on staff here. But the question is, since we have statistics showing that the vast majority of the students in Washoe County, they're the majority of students. They're Latino. The majority of students in the entire state of Nevada, as far as public schools and private schools, is Latino by an overwhelming amount. TPUSA's moniker is like, you guys going to the university, but what about the high schools and the grammar schools specifically to the Latino community? What are you guys having or call the action to get that going?
We have high school chapters too, and so we'd love to. I don't know how successful we've been here. I would imagine we have a chapter or two up here. But yeah, we actually have more high school chapters than college chapters nationwide now. And I will say that the high schools, we're learning a lot. They are harder to get chapters at than colleges, as you can imagine. Just the administrators sometimes, or the bureaucrats are there. But if there's anybody here that has kids, if there's a high schooler here that wants to start a Turning Point USA chapter, go to our table out in the hall. We would immediately love to connect you and get you involved. We have a second-to-none student outreach and development program. In fact, I bet you might have some students here at the church that would love to do that. And so open invite, would love to have it. And also, for those of you that might want to fly down to Phoenix to be around over 10,000 students, we have an event called America Fest. I know some of you are going. And this will get students engaged. AMFest.com, AMFEST.com. We have Tucker Carlson. We have Candace Owens. We have Rob Schneider. We have Riley Gaines. We have the biggest speakers you can imagine. I think
there
we have, and we also have a strong church sub event. And I do believe there are nonstop flights from Reno to Phoenix every single day. So, would love to get some strong chapters started here in the Reno area. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. Love the shirt, man.
Thank you. Been a big fan a long time. Of course, Bannon War Room is great too. Dan Bongino, and I love Mike Lindell. So mine's more of a call to action for the caucus, February 8th in Nevada.
Can you answer her question?
And the delegates only go towards those presidential candidates, and they divide them up. So whoever gets the most, they send those up. So only do the caucus on February 8th. Do not do the preferential presidential primary. Do not do that. Do the caucus. We also need help with the Washoe Republican Party, and we need more precinct captains. And we need more people to volunteer to help us at the caucus events.
So the primary has no delegates?
No
delegates. Why are they doing a primary?
The state decided that.
So only is the caucus on a Saturday? No, is that right?
No, it's like a
It used to be,
Thursday.
Right?
February
In years
8th.
Past, it was never on a weekend?
It's 5 p.m.
On
February
a Thursday?
8th. It's like a Thursday or something, yeah.
Do they make this intentionally confusing?
Yes. The caucus is always, since 1981, we've had the caucus. Since 1981, we've had the caucus, and they're trying to change it like they've changed everything else.
Okay, yeah. Got it. So caucus.
Caucus, yep.
February 8th.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. Okay, no, that's really great. Thank you.
Hi, Charlie. my name's Ethan. I just wanted to ask for some advice you would give to a 14-year-old who would like to make a change for all these people who can make a change in their lives so they can change the world.
I love that question. Don't you love that? Isn't that great? Well, I hope some of you that are not 14 here, I'm not going to say any ages, are motivated by that. There are millions of young people. I'm telling you, I'm not selling you hopium. Hope and opium together. There are millions of young people ready to fight for America. And I'm telling you, every single day, get involved with Turning Point USA, right? So come to our table there. The earlier you prioritize learning, not the stuff. Are you homeschooled? Maybe yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like a Zoom school. It's a lot less liberal than.
Yeah. No. The fact you're way too well spoken to be government school. I could take it to you. I could tell homeschool. I could see the homeschoolers a mile away. Well dressed. Yes, sir. Thank you for being here. You know, homeschool. Government school is a completely different thing. It's just not, doesn't work that way. Learn as much as you can. At the age 14, 15, 16, you should be reading 100 books a year, listening to podcasts. The earlier you do that, you will have such a significant advantage on any of your peers. And if you want to get into politics, that's great. I tell this to every young person. get into politics to want to do something, not to be somebody. The worst people in politics are people that want to be somebody. The best people in politics are the people that want to get something done or do something. So make sure you get involved for the right reasons. Okay, it's very, very important. And then finally, you work harder than the people around you. And that is something that is being lost, I'll tell you. Just this old-fashioned grit, hustle, and work ethic. It's not everybody. There's plenty of young people that hustle, but it's harder and harder to find. You know, it was so funny. When I first started Turning Point USA, I was 18. It took till I was 20 till I realized not everybody worked as hard as I did. I know that sounds silly, but I was like, wow, some people don't care as much as I do. And I was like, I'm gonna win. Like, I'm going to build, like, we're going to build something big. Because, like, I'm just going to outwork everyone. Like, I thought everyone was, like, hustling and, you know. It's like, a lot of people are lazy. It was really encouraging, actually. Because you know why? I could control how hard I worked. And so I traveled 3,100 days in a decade, right? I saw, you know, a million-mile club in every single airline imaginable. And United, Delta, American, you name it, very well, treated very well by every airline. But, yeah, just outwork the competition. If you do that, and then try to develop good character. I know that's a big order for a 14-year-old, but developing character is a big deal. And
with
we don't.
With the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible.
With the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. God bless you, man. Thank you.
All right, guys, this is going to be our last question. We're running out of time here. Oh, two more. Okay, we're going to do two more.
Hello, my name is Clayton Yon, and with the incompetency of our president, how he just doesn't seem to be there. Anybody can see that. Yeah. My question is, with your personal knowledge and everything, who's running the streams behind this idiot?
Barack Obama is still heavily involved. He is. Barack Obama is an evil person, and he is still very much involved. Valerie Jarrett, but it goes even bigger than that. It is a cabal of Soros, of Mackenzie Bezos, of Reid Hoffman, of Mark Benioff, of Sergey Brin, of Larry Page, of Jeff Bezos, of Mark Zuckerberg, Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. Joe Biden is just a temporary placeholder. He does what he's told. He doesn't know where he is. He shuffles around. I mean, we should laugh, but it's the only thing we could do. It's really sad when you think about it, that this beautiful, amazing country, this incredible gift from God is being run by this, you know, this traitor who can't even, you know, put two sentences together. One of the promising things is how many of you are not surprised by what I'm saying, and you realize that there's a deeper game going on here. And I just want to make sure that it is very clear, it is easy to pick on Joe Biden. But those people that I mentioned are also running big parts of the Republican Party as well. It's important to know that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We can go five more minutes, so maybe we can do two more. We'll see. It's always two more. We'll see.
Hi, I'm Evan. I just want to say thank you so much for coming out here to speak with us. And my question is that if this was the very last time that you could speak to any of the Youth America, including me, then what would you tell us?
That's a very deep question. It's also dark because it would be like, why would it be the last thing I was saying? But no, I think it's great. I really do. Let's go back to what I said earlier. Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell address. And it was obviously, you know, they didn't get rid of it. So they put it into the Torah. Look, I would say similar to what Moses said, which is there's this incredible, I think it's Deuteronomy 27, where... No, it's like Deuteronomy 20. Yeah, he talks about the blessings. If you do this, you get blessings. And it's like 1/8. And then for 7/8 of the chapter, it's like the curses. And it is if you do this, it really goes to show if you don't follow God's law, things are not going to end up very favorable for you. And you think about it, Moses, you know, kind of grew. He was really sick of them by then. He was actually happy to be done with them, right? He was the most unimpressive group of people in the history of. Only God could deliver the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt to a great nation. I mean, they complain all the time, and we want melons and leeks and cucumbers and meat and bring us back to Egypt. I mean, you know, oh my goodness, they have giants, they got talking donkeys. The whole thing's a mess, right? But only God. It's honestly but Moses was right when he said, If you don't follow God, things won't turn out well. So what would my final thing to the youth of my Moses farewell address would be? It would be, you have a great country, and it's collapsing, and it's going to be up for you guys to save it. But you must follow God's commands and follow God's law. You must put God first. And if you don't do that, none of it will matter. Thank you. The last question, I promise. All right?
I'll be quick. With regards to Trump, you know, God picks a lot of strange people. Look at Matthew. Look at Paul. I mean, he doesn't always pick the clean runner. But my question is, on election night, if everything shuts down at 3 in the morning, how do we counteract that?
It's a great question. By the way, they're too eager. Can you guys do a group question? Can all three of you compare notes, okay? So, all right. I'll just talk to each other, and you get one question for your whole generation, okay? Look, great. I love the teamwork. Ma'am, your question is excellent. I don't lie. You know that, right? I cannot tell you that this next election will be clean. I can't. You must vote, and you must act like it is clean. You must do everything you possibly can, like the Lord will act like he did in 2016, okay? And deliver us from this evil, okay? But I do not want you to get your hopes up as if they're not going to do another crooked steal. The RNC, by the way, Ronna McRomney should resign as chair of the RNC. It is a disgrace that she is the chair. They have not done nearly enough to secure our elections in my home state of Arizona, Georgia, or Wisconsin. So here's my attitude. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get our people out, to get us to vote. I'm going to try to secure the elections, but I will not lie to you and tell you that this system is flawless and that we fixed everything. We fixed some minor stuff in Wisconsin or Georgia, but would you rather have me be up here and tell you that everything is wonderful and fixed? No. That would be an abuse of the trust that you've put in me. So there's nothing preventing it currently. Hopefully we can get a new RNC chair. A new RNC chair should come in and start filing strategic lawsuits and come up with a battle plan to make sure that votes are counted quickly and ethically and transparently. And we do not have that currently. Election integrity is the big issue that people still do not want to talk about. But look, I share your passion and your zeal with this. So people say, but Charlie, then why fight? Because I believe in a God of miracles. And I remember the doubt of 2016. I remember how we doubted. And then I saw how God moved. Thank you. All right, what's your question?
Hi, Charlie. We are all TPSA chapter.
Oh, that is to see, you guys should have said something. Okay. Yeah. I think you guys are in the back. I love that.
We are high school and college.
High school?
Yes.
What high school?
Douglas High School.
Okay. You guys familiar with that? Okay, very good.
I represent the UNR chapter. I'm
awesome.
Chapter president at UNR.
Amazing. I'm so glad I called on them. We should always say turning pointers get to the front of the line, right? So, all right, the question.
Our question is, how can we bring more students to Scripture and God as well as TPUSA students into our organization?
What a great question. I want to direct you. I didn't know they were here. Two of our TPUSA field staff in the back. And Turning Point Action. By the way, that's our political arm. If you want to become a precinct committeeman or anything political, talk to my man back there. So here's, I haven't given this answer in a while, but it's the best thing. Unhappy people are the worst ambassadors for Christianity. You must be joyful. Thankfully, you're in a generation that everyone is miserable, okay? So it's true. So if you're happy and joyful, they'll say, what is with you? Say, I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You'll be different. If you are sullen and you have a heaviness to you, yeah, you know, the scriptures are always, you're a walking billboard for the gospel, right? And so be long-suffering, be magnanimous, right? Be truthful in all things, right? And here, in every opportunity that you can, say, you know, the Bible says something about that, because there's a lot of questions that people ask. They ask, the Bible answers every single question. Why are we here? Who created us? Who should I marry? You know, what does marriage look like, right? What happens when I die? What is love? What is mercy? The Bible answers all of it. But the best thing you can do is to be a light of hope and joy and, quite honestly, be different than this cynical, broken, and bitter culture that we're living in. and I got to be honest, I feel so bad for young people. This is like the saddest country ever right now. Everyone's like moping around. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's start living with it, everybody, right? And it transforms you. In fact, a couple things. If you despair, it is a sin. You are not allowed to despair. If you find yourself despairing, cut it out. Every day I get emails from people. Charlie, it's too negative. I'm giving up. Aunt, you're sinning. Either you believe Christ is coming again and you believe in God's plan or you don't. You cannot despair. And the final thing is that by the fruit you'll know it, right? Is that we need to live out the Holy Scriptures every single day for a broken generation. And that will they'll see the truth and the truth will set them free. And then tell them to get involved with Turning Point USA. You got to come back to UNR. You guys would love to see me come back to UNR. You guys would love that. I think we're due. I think we're due.
Help us wake up our students. We need you to help wake up the students on our campus.
All right. You might have sold me. I'll talk to the team. All right. Can I say something in closing? Is that okay? Thank you, guys. God bless you. All right. Really closing thought. Please subscribe to the podcast if you can, if we could put that graphic back up. That's the last shameless plug. Here's what we'll close with. Some of you might have asked, Charlie, are you optimistic? If I said, yes, I was optimistic, we're going to win, you'd go home and do nothing because you would say, oh, Charlie's optimistic, I don't have to do anything. If I said I was pessimistic, you'd go home and do nothing because you'd say, oh, you know, Charlie thinks we're going to lose. Instead, I think we must act. Now, some of you might say, Charlie, I've done everything that's been asked of me. I'm going to go to the caucus. I watch your podcast. I bought the pillow. I have done everything that has been asked of me. By the way, promo code Kirk at mypillow.com, okay? Write it down. Giza dream sheets, the slippers. Okay? Promo code Kirk. It's not a joke. It's very important. Get in the arena, everybody. I know some of you might say, I'm too old for this. Aunt, get in the arena. Become a precinct committeeman. Nevada matters, everybody, okay? Pray for the young Turning Point kids and get to know them. Get to know the local leaders. Come to this church and become involved in a faith group. Spend an hour a day and learn about your nation. Get involved in the pro-life movement. There's some great pro-life pregnancy care centers here that need your help. Every single one of you, there is more that you can do. All of us, myself included. So if there's one takeaway tonight, it says, you know what? I can raise my game a little bit. I can work a little bit harder. Not out of outcome, but out of obedience to an almighty God who loves us. God bless you guys. Thank Amen. You so much.
Thank you, Charlie, so much for coming, man. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.